The Holy Gospel this day, a reading from the book of St. Luke in the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This is the most important text that I read every year. And I do that for three different reasons. The first is this, because I've been exactly where the women are standing. I'm baffled. Completely baffled. Have you ever noticed how things like that happen in life? You're out to do one thing, you've set the goal, away you go, and what happened? It can be something small, like a guy who's driving about 120 westbound on the Yellowhead and all of a sudden discovers, that's my exit. So he lanes of traffic into a turn bay. What happened? Or, for example, you've got the day all planned. Everything's all lined up. You've got it all figured out. And then the phone rings. And an old friend of yours you haven't heard from for the last 6 months suddenly calls and needs to talk. Well, there went that hour and a half. Now your day is all out of sync. Baffling. It happens to us. The women are baffled because we went to finish the job. Where we left them was at a full stop. Where we left the disciples was a full stop. Where we left everything was full stop, because that's it. Jesus is dead. We put him in a borrowed tomb. All done. We went to finish the job because, you see, we didn't even have a chance to do a proper job of embalming him. So they grab the spices, and they're going down to do the work that's necessary. Not going to happen. Nobody there. They come back, and they tell the disciples. This is the second thing that makes this important. They tell the disciples, and the disciples are not paying attention. You ever noticed how that works? I missed it. I had a friend of mine who did that once. I was with him. It's so much fun to watch a person who has no idea where they're going driving down a road. I let this guy drive down Highway 11. He passed four places he could have turned off. We got all the way to Nordegg. Missed it. Just missed it. Wasn't there. That's what the disciples are doing. They're sitting there, and they've missed it. We come back with news. We come back with huge knows he's not there. Now that's got all kinds of implications written into it. I'm not going to go into it this moment. Huge news in the fact that he's not there. But we're not paying attention, except Peter. And Peter runs down to the tomb, takes a look, and goes, And then he does the Lutheran thing. He says, okay, I'm going to have a coffee and go home and think about it. That's often our church reaction. No, we'll have a coffee and we'll think about it. That's the whole reaction of the disciples. That's it. The third reason this is really important to me is because of what it means. If he's not there, he's gone. And the reason that he's gone is because of what the angels, whom we weren't listening to, told us. He's not here. Why are you sitting here? Get up, get moving. He told you where we were going to rendezvous. He told you where we were going to meet together. And that was after he told us, by the way, three times he was going to get dead. He told us all this stuff. So, get going. Because what that means is this. He's not dead. He's walking around. And it's not like we haven't seen this, John chapter 11. We have seen this before, only it's him doing it now. That's even way more important, but that's for later. What's interesting is they're still sitting there. As we finish this segment, they're still sitting there. For me, I'm on the run. I'm heading out. I'm gone, because if Jesus has died, then I died. If Jesus is alive, then I'm alive. If Jesus is risen, he's got eternal life. And if Jesus is risen and has eternal life, so do I. Forever. It's only a transition point. It's only a way stop. Oh, and by the way, there's none of us getting out of here alive, guys. Doesn't happen that way. It has to happen. On the other hand, we have this joy, we have this wonder, we have this beauty in the fact that I'm going to live forever. And God goes, okay, now here's what I want you to do with that. I want you to walk out the door. I want you to walk into the super. I want you to walk into the shopping mall. I want you to go to the farmer's market. I want you to tell other people about it. Small detail. That's in a list of small details that have huge implications. You know, like the other one that says God indicates, I don't want much, really. I want your soul. No, it isn't. You want everything that's mine? God goes, yes, and I'll help you with Jesus. So we need to go and tell this story. We need to go out and tell it again and again and again. And God says, I'm not done. There's more. There'll be a lot more in the next few weeks for the disciples. But that's for later, as we're working for the kingdom. Amen.